names of those making decisions may be forwarded to the proper individuals. Number two, set for the year of 1958, which follows the year of World Mission Emphases, a goal of $52 million or $1 million a week for world missions through the cooperative program.
Recommendation number four, with respect to the resolution committed to the Executive Committee at the St. Louis Convention concerning advisability of special newspaper advertising, we recommend that the Division of Publications of the Executive Committee be instructed to offer annually through the SBC match service two series of 13 mats to be sold at a nominal cost to churches, associations, and districts.
We recommend for the year 1956 a goal be set for $38 million for cooperative program, including state and Southern Baptist Convention causes.
Brother Chairman, I move you the adoption of the report of the Promotion Committee.
Motion is made and seconded that this report be adopted. Is there any discussion from the floor? Any questions you would like to ask? Dr. Moore is to speak to it before we take the vote, I understand. Dr. Moore.
Dr. Storr and fellow messengers to this convention, our committee came into being, as has been stated, by the order of the convention in St. Louis last year. We bear in mind that historians trace the movement of the modern movement of missions to a Baptist, William Carey. There are many of us who would like to believe that we stand today upon the threshold of a great forward movement in world evangelization and world missions. Seldom, if ever, is a great movement, however, started solely by a single individual or group of individuals. They only gather up and give expression to the feelings and the trends of the times in which they live. This has most certainly been true of your committee. It came into existence at the convention in St. Louis last year because of the urgency of the world situation, but also, I believe, because of the rising tide of interest on the part of all Southern Baptists in accepting their responsibility in the world mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. That movement has gained momentum in many areas of our convention life with each passing month, and we have felt it. We have felt it in our state conventions. We have seen evidences of it in the missionary days in our seminaries. We have seen expression of it in the response on the part of our young people to the claims of Christ as volunteers for mission service. It has simply been the experience and the purpose of your Committee on World Evangelization to keep abreast and attempt to give some organized and tangible expression to that which has, I believe, become a movement among Southern Baptists. The report represents not only the expression of these fine men who served with me on the committee, but the wholehearted cooperation of the leaders of our agencies and boards. I would like to express my public appreciation for the cooperation of Dr. Coffin, Dr. Merrill Moore, of Dr. Porter Ruth, and Dr. Courts Redford, and others. And as you will observe in the full report, and I sincerely hope that you will give it your thoughtful and prayerful reading, that we adopted at the outset of our study this twofold policy. First, our committee should concern itself with the total mission program of Southern Baptist and not any segment of our convention life. Second, that any ways and means to achieve this by the very instruction of our convention, should be implemented by the promotion committee. We recognize also that anything we do must not be a spasmodic effort, that the planning must be of necessity, long range, and comprehensive. And if we have learned anything from experience in our Baptist life, we have learned that the foundation must be sustaining and stable. As is always true, it is one thing to write recommendations and resolutions. That is relatively easy. It is another thing to get them out of the book, into the lives of our churches and our people. That is not easy. Some while ago, I heard a friend of mine relate an experience he had as an encounter with a course in trigonometry when he was a student in college. He said in surveying the courses which he could take, he noticed that in trigonometry, the problems were in the front of the book and the answers were in the back. He jumped at the conclusion that therefore it ought to be a snap course. Before he was finished with the course, however, he discovered that there were required the personal demonstration of some equation and formula in order to get the answer. That was not easy. The needs and problems of our world are everywhere evident. People are hungry and in need of bread. They are in darkness and need intelligent enlightenment. They are in moral bondage and need freedom. They are in the throes of spiritual death and need new life. They are lost and need to find their way. And let us not be deceived. The need not only is in the non-Western, non-white, non-American world. America needs Christ. America needs a new moral conscience. America needs a new sense of her spiritual responsibility to the rest of the world. The need is for Christ. The need is everywhere. The need is for every man. The need is for the total man. And the need is for the total life. And need we say it is urgently so? Time has run out for history, and it can happen again. Vast portions of the peoples of the world, as we have been told, and were told again last night, are in a revolution. They seek a new way of life. It may well be, I think it is, that their urgent need in their groping as they seek to come up from where they are to where they want to be, though they may not see clearly what that is, their urgent need may well be Southern Baptist opportunity. What about the answer? We have been saying as Southern Baptists, and rightly so, that Christ is the answer. But let us never forget that the answer is not in the slogan. The answer is in his life. The task to which we have set ourselves as a committee this past year is to try to find, if we can, the personal equation between the problem and the answer. To do that, we must have a much larger and more adequately equipped personnel. Well, as Dr. Cawthon expressed it, not only for the Foreign Mission Board, but for all, the basic requirement for an expanded mission undertaking is in a much larger missionary staff. During the last 7 years, we have appointed approximately 75 missionaries per year. Due to losses from death, retirement, and failures of health, we have only a net gain annually of approximately 45. At the present rate, between 15 and 18 years will be necessary to reach our goal of 1,700. We were thrilled last night when 40 young men and young women responded here for appointment, along with the need for personnel, stands the urgent need for material resources. And we join with our leaders in expressing our faith in the fact that we believe among 8 million Southern Baptists and nearly 30,000 churches, we do have under God the resources in the lives of young men and young women and in the material resources with which God has so abundantly blessed us. One Sabbath day, our Lord went into his home church in the little village of Nazareth and took the book, and from it he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." There was a world in need, poor, brokenhearted, captive, blind, and bruised. The answer is clear, unmistakable. The answer is in his life. But between the need which he saw and his life stood the necessity for a personal demonstration. The equation worked out in the terms of his complete dedication and sacrifice on a cross. "As the Father has sent me, even so send I you." The answer will be reached when you and I, as members and pastors and workers in our church and our convention, get this report out of the pages of the book into the lives of our people and of the world.
Thank you, Brother Moore, for that very, very fine word to us. We are ready now for the vote upon the motion. Those in favor will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, no. It is so carried.
And now, Mr. President, I should like to move the adoption of the report of the Executive Committee as a whole, including the section presented yesterday and that presented tonight.
Thank you, sir. Is there a second to that? Motion is made and seconded that it be adopted as a whole. Those in favor would please say aye. Contrary-minded, no. It is so carried.
Dr. Guy Moore and his committee on world evangelization have worked laboriously, prayerfully, and with deep devotion. They have called Southern Baptists to advance in foreign missions, advance on the home front, advance through the state convention, and advance through the local church. They have brought a report which will help to arouse Southern Baptists and help to make missionary advance a reality. How can we carry to the members of our churches the urgency which this report makes us feel at this moment? How shall we spell out to the members who are not here the steps for missionary advance? How shall we enlist them in devotion to the task? How shall we harness the energies of the members who are now idle and enlist the gifts and prayers of these who do not see or feel what we now see and feel? How shall we use this occasion of the 30th anniversary of the cooperative program to commemorate so great an event and arouse the people to our greater support of world missions through the cooperative program? One immediate answer is Church and Denomination Night, a one-night conference on stewardship and missions observed in every church in the Southern Baptist Convention this year. In the envelope packet given you as you came in tonight is a tract which explains this Church and Denomination Night. Read that tract carefully. Plan a church and denomination night in your church. Have messages on stewardship and missions and the cooperative program and church finance. Have messages which lay upon the hearts of the people, this which has been laid upon our hearts here tonight. Have messages which show the place of the cooperative program in giving the gospel to a lost world. Have a church and denomination night in your church and in every Southern Baptist church this fall. 30 years ago, Southern Baptists gathered in Ellis Auditorium in Memphis, Tennessee. That adopted the cooperative program of Southern Baptists. Much has passed in those years since that time. The cooperative program has become the plan of Southern Baptists for promoting world missions and advance on all fronts. In those 30 years, you have contributed through the cooperative program to world missions $266 million. That has blessed almost every nation in the world. If those dollars were laid end to end, they would belt the equator and go entirely around the world, and 1,000 miles in addition on its second journey around the world. But brethren, at the rate at which we are giving through the cooperative program to world missions, Southern Baptists can, in the next 8 years, belt the world again and accomplish in 8 years what they did accomplish in the first 30 years. But brethren, might we not so step up this advance? Might we not reach out for the sake of world evangelization? And might we not, in 6 years, again give enough to go around the world and to accomplish what was accomplished in that first 30 years? Now, brethren, tonight we come to a commemoration of that 30th anniversary of the cooperative program. The Sunday School Board, the Broadman Films, have graciously prepared, at their own cost and risk, this film on the cooperative program. There are scheduled documentaries on the cooperative program. There are scheduled a series of additional messages in film. This is a first in the series. Use it in your church and denomination night. Use it in your stewardship revivals. Use it in your churches to show your people the place of the individual in the cooperative program of Southern Baptists. With deep gratitude to the Home Mission Board for its splendid cooperation in making this possible. With deep gratitude to the Sunday School Board for the production of this film, which is available to you for these uses, particularly in your church and denomination night programs, we present Together We Build.
May we make some announcements? Can you hear me? George Shivers, Wake Forest, North Carolina, please report to the information booth. It's urgent. Pontiac from South Carolina. And a Ford from Kentucky have their lights on. Pontiac's number is D224875 from South Carolina, from Kentucky's 110327. Bob Feather of Bowling Green, Kentucky, please report the information booth immediately. Reverend William Anthony wanted at the information desk.
This is the moment on our program for special music by the Cherokee Indian Choir. I do not... That is incorrect.
We're very happy that we have with us this evening the Mount Zion Baptist Church Choir of this city. Mr. Arthur King is their director, and they're going to be coming on the platform as we sing our theme song for the convention, 95, if you need to look at it, Glory to His Name. You've been singing wonderfully. It's really a thrill to be up here and hear you sing. Let's keep it up. Let's all stand, join in singing. All right, let's all join in.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to the house of the Lord, glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name, there to the house of the Lord, glory to His name.
There's so much testimony in this number. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Nonetheless, come to this fountain so rich and sweet. I hope you'll think about the words as we sing. Now we'll go on to the singing. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Let's go in. All right.
I am so wondrously saved.
That's it. Praise it on.
Jesus is
seated. And now here comes Mr. Arthur King, the director of the choir, who will present the numbers this evening.
Sing three numbers for you. Great day. Let us break bread together.
That'll help.
Thank you. We will sing three numbers for you. Great day. Let us break bread together. And Inflammatus.
Yeah.
A 1955 Ford with Oklahoma plate 313195 is blocking the exit door at the northwest corner and must be moved or else the police will tow it in. The Committee on Committees will meet in the morning, 9 o'clock, Columbus Hotel lobby.
I am sure that we have heard wonderful music this evening. We've been richly blessed with it. That kind of music comes from the hearts of those who know him of whom they sing. We have come in almost on time. We're a little late, but not too much now, for the Home Mission Board and Courts Redford. Brother Redford will present that program.
Brother President, messengers of the convention, may we bow our heads for just a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, make us very conscious tonight of thy presence and of the leadership of thy Spirit. Lord, have thine own way with everyone who speaks and with each one who hears, and grant that every impression and every decision that is made this night may be well-pleasing to thee. For Christ's sake and in his name we ask it. Amen. No one ever had a better helper than I have in the administration of the affairs of the Home Mission Board. And I'm happy at this time to introduce Mr. Frank Garrison, who will present our report. Mr. Garrison. Friends, it's a happy privilege tonight to call to your attention the report of the Home Mission Board, which you'll find on pages 111 through 141 inclusive in your book of reports. If you have held on to your book of reports and have it, I wish you would refer to page 111, if you will, and then to pages 112 and 113. I'd like to call your attention just for a brief moment to some items there that I think will be of particular interest to you. Last fall, a committee of our denominational leaders made a study of our situation with reference to non-resident and inactive church membership. And they came up with the startling fact that 48 4/10% of the total membership of our Southern Baptist churches are lost to the active ministry of the church, and that only 51 6/10% of the members of our Southern Baptist churches are carrying the load of church ministry. We suggest here some ways that we can do something about it. In order to remedy this matter, to enlist the unenlisted, and to prevent further losses of young converts, a 7-point program was adopted by that group, and you'll find it outlined on page 112 of your book of reports. I want to pinpoint one or two things. First, it is suggested that all new members be asked to study, that is, all new church members be asked to study the book entitled Your Life and Your Church, written by Dr. James L. Sullivan. Then, this further suggestion, that the entire month of September 1955 be set apart as a period for a revision of church roles of all of our churches in the Southern Baptist Convention. We feel that it's misleading to everybody concerned to carry large enrollments when so many of them are lost entirely to the service of the kingdom. And one further suggestion. We earnestly suggest that all pastors and churches not only cooperate in the matter of revising church roles, but join immediately in an all-out effort to see that books and doctrines are taught to our books on doctrine are taught to our church members, particularly our new converts. And now on page 113, there are some figures given under head of summary. Your Home Mission Board has now a force of 1,324 missionaries, including 370 student missionaries, such as you saw exemplified on the screen in the production we had presented to us tonight. These boys and girls who are going out to learn how to do mission work in the summertime, and many of them are coming back to dedicate their lives to Christian missions. Then I'd like to call your attention to the conversions reported by the missionaries of the Home Mission Board. 35,843. New missions opened 401, new churches organized 359, and the number of chaplains, and this is a significant thing, because in 1941, your convention turned to the Home Mission Board the matter of endorsing chaplains to the government for its several branches of service. We now have 451 chaplains on active duty. These chaplains reported last year 16,195 professions of faith. And although we do not pay their salaries, they are nevertheless your missionaries in the armed forces and in the Veterans Administration hospitals and so forth. So those conversions can well be added to the 35,843 listed above. Brother President, there are no recommendations in our report, and I should like now to move the adoption of this report in order that we may dispose of this matter before we get into the more formal part of our program for the evening.
Yes. You've heard the motion as made and seconded. So that we adopt the motion at this time, then there will be the remainder of the program, of course. Are you ready for the question? Those in favor of the adoption will please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary-minded, no. And it is adopted.
And I should like at this time to present to you the missionary personnel of our board who are on the platform. There are doubtless others out in the audience who did not hear the announcement and who did not respond. But I'd like for all the personnel of the Home Mission Board who are seated on the platform to stand at this time in order that you may see them. Thank you. And now I should like at this time the privilege of presenting two people who are on the platform by way of recognition for the wonderful service which they have rendered to the cause of home missions. We are very happy tonight that Dr. J.B. Lawrence, the Executive Secretary Emeritus of the Home Mission Board, who retired in December of 1953, happy that he can be with us and that he's on the platform. And I'd like Dr. Lawrence to stand for recognition at this time. Dr. Lawrence, just stand there. Stephen McDehan. For more than 24 years, Dr. Lawrence led us in a marvelous way in reorganizing our program of home missions and in paying our debts and doing lots of other things. And we are always grateful when he can be present in any meeting where the Home Mission Board is responsible for the program. And now there's another on the platform that I think you would like us to recognize at this time. For some 8 years, Dr. W.A. Duncan served on our board and then rotated off and then came back 6 years ago and has served for 6 years this time, a total of about 14 years. Dr. Duncan is retiring from our board under the rotating system again. He's getting rotated off again. But he's been serving as president of our board for the last year and a half, and I'd like Dr. Duncan to stand for recognition at this time. Dr. Duncan. And now it's my very happy privilege to recognize Dr. Hugh Bumpus, who is vice president of our board, one of the vice presidents. The other lives in Atlanta and is not in attendance, Brother C.G. Cole. Dr. Bumpus is vice president of our board. He's pastor of the Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Oklahoma City, and the remainder of the program will be under his direction. Brother Bumpus.
Thank you, Brother Garrison. I'm sure every Southern Baptist here and wherever they are tonight are proud of the great record of our own Home Mission Board since its beginning when we met the first time, I mean when Baptists of the South met in August in 1845. We are proud of the 110-year record of our Home Mission Board, that our Baptist people asked to direct missions in our homeland. We believe, beloved, that home missions is not only for the salvation of souls, but is an investment in a savings account. By that we mean that every new church we help to organize, every soul we help to lead to Christ, is investment for new possible mission volunteers, Dr. Colton, for the Foreign Board and for all of our work. And every new convert won, every new church organized is an investment for all of the institutions of our Baptists in money as well as in personnel. We are proud of the 1,324 missionaries on the field in the 38 states, Cuba, down the Panama Canal region, Alaska, and where they're serving. We are proud of the 10,000 churches that have been organized under the direction of missionary workers of your board. We are proud that over 1 million converts have been reported under the work of the missionaries of this board. We like the man who said, hats off to the past, but coats off to the future. This board has a real program. We feel with all the past achievements, like the great general who was asked, General, what's the greatest battle you ever won? He said the next one. This year, 55, the slogan has been in the four-year program, Evangelize in 55. Now, not only every pastor, but every layman knows that we must evangelize always if we would maintain our Baptist work. But we have this year, I believe Brother Matthews, when the reports are in, will find more people have come to know Christ. We've had our greatest year of evangelism. We've concentrated, though we evangelize every year, in this great idea of cooperation. Somebody said in an asylum, they noticed a guard over 50, another guard over 50, and another guard over 50. And the question was asked, what if these people by 50s were to get together and gang up on the guard? Isn't it dangerous? And the man in charge said if they had sense enough to cooperate, they wouldn't be here. We have this year, as never before, tried to concentrate on all of us doing the thing for which Christ saved us and commissioned us at the same time. The next year program, in the four-year program, 1956, will emphasize new churches. The goal is 2,666 new Baptist churches. Back there in the Home Mission Board booth, the local newspaper report and photographer was captivated by that fact that there are 24 million people to whom there is not a Baptist church that they can reach. That's our goal this year, 2,666 new Baptist churches. The goal in the four-year program for 1957 is to concentrate on the language and special groups. We believe that it's on an economic basis, costing a lot more money to win people of all languages in this homeland of Christ than it is to deal with crime that might be involved with unregenerate men and women, boys and girls. In the four-year program for 1958, the concentration will be, because of the great shift of population to our largest cities, our emphasis will be on the cities and at the same time on the rural sections, because from the rural sections, many, if not most, of our great Baptist leaders and preachers and workers have come. We realize with the shift of population to the great cities, there has been entailed more broken homes, more juvenile delinquency, more crime than in all the history of this nation. And we seek prayerfully and in a concentrated way to deal with that, especially in 58. Then, 58. And with that, the mission study program, a concentration on mission books and pamphlets and schools of mission. We believe that people cannot be up on missions and down on missions. Tonight, you're to hear from the hearts and through the lips of a few of our people, especially that part of the program that we will concentrate on for the coming year, 56. I'm glad that these on the program tonight, some of them at least, do not have the names like some of our missionaries have from some of the language groups. I was speaking in Clinton, Oklahoma one night, meeting some people, called my name Bumpus. A man said, "Awful," thinking he was ejaculating at the name. I repeated, "Bumpus." He repeated, "Awful." I said, "Listen, fellow, my name's Bumpus and I can't help it." He said, "Listen, mine's Awful and I can't help it." We have that man is Lee Awful, one of the missionaries of this board, an Indian missionary, Lee Awful. We want you to hear, and you want to hear tonight, especially thinking towards that part of our four-year program for next year, more churches, 2,666 more Baptist churches. What my church means to me, Ms. Ernest Gere of Safford, Arizona, who is a convert of Mormonism. Ms. Gere, if you will speak as we pray.
The theme of my life is this: come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I have that theme tonight because God has Southern Baptist hearts that are mission-hearted. Southern Baptist churches that believe in home missions and in the cooperative program. Without the home missions and without the cooperative program money spent in the West, I tonight could not say, come and hear what he hath done for my soul. For 31 years, I was a Mormon. For 7 years, I've been a Christian. My church means salvation and service. When you go back to your churches, you say to them that Mrs. Ernest Gear, farmer's wife, your country cousin, came to Miami and said, thank you, Southern Baptists, for sharing Christ Jesus with Arizona. The greatest thing that ever happened to Safford, Arizona, was when Southern Baptist missionary T.T. Reynolds came to help to establish Calvary Baptist Church. The greatest thing that happened to Mrs. Ernest Gear was the morning that she decided to go to Calvary Baptist Church. There were 19 people that morning. They were singing, we praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. On the first Sunday of January, the invitation was given and the pastor said, why won't you accept my Jesus? I looked about for some Baptist to do it. I understood that's what Baptists believed you must do. The invitation was given again, and this time that home missionary was weeping, and he was weeping for me. He said, oh, why won't you accept my Jesus? God spoke to my heart, saying, why don't you accept my son? He died for the Mormons the same as he died for a Baptist. When you go back to your homes, will you say to your folks and to your church, Christ Jesus died for the Mormons the same as he died for a Baptist? Will you tell them that out in Arizona and in the West, there are hundreds of miles between a Baptist church? Will you remind them that out there we believe in cooperation and we're thankful that you believe in it? In our church, we are giving 15% to the cooperative program. We make special offerings to the home missions because we know what the cooperative program and the home mission means. Our fine pastor who serves at great sacrifice said, your pastor will stand in this pulpit barefooted before he will take out the cooperative program. Thank God for a way. Thank God for a place of service with Southern Baptists in Arizona. Now, I didn't even think to look at my watch, and I might not think again. Brother Bumpus, you come and touch me on the shoulder when I need to be removed. All of my folks are still Mormons, except my daughter, who married the only convert of our church, the only convert in the whole year, a boy from Texas who had never been to church till he came to Arizona. We know what the scripture means, cast your bread upon the water and it will return not many days hence to bless thee, because my daughter and that convert of our church are back in Texas today, are helping in the establishment of a mission church in Marble Falls, Texas. I know what missions are because I've gone into a little town 150 years old that had never had a Bible school, only a Catholic church and a Mormon church. Little boys and girls who did not even know what the name of Jesus means. One little boy that looked into my face and said, Mrs. Gear, I love Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he means to me. I can hear the voice of Jesus calling out so pleadingly. Go and find the Lord. Go and bring them back to me. Must they be left in sin to die without his word, without the Savior Jesus Christ? They never will. Along, along must they wait. Along, along must they wait. The laborers still are few. The Lord has need of you. My father died and went to hell. Died believing that he would leave hell. My constant prayer is, God, don't let my other loved ones die without Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Ms. Gear. I do not know why I was asked to take this part of the program, unless it is that I wear an alarm watch. It's awfully hard to use that thing, though. Thank you, Ms. Gear. Now, what a church means to my family. Robert W. Fields, who is top sergeant in Fort Riley.
Thank you. Good evening, fellow Christians. Pardon me, please. I would like to say that I am in the service. However, I am not a chaplain. There have been some question about it tonight. I am not a chaplain. I am deeply honored at the opportunity to come here tonight and to speak to such a noble assemblage on what the church means to my family. I'd like to bring it down pardon me, a little more closer to home and say what the Southern Baptist Church of Junction City, Kansas means to my family. Thank you. The family and I moved to Junction City in 1953, and in accordance with the covenant of our church, we joined a church of what we thought to be like faith and order. It is a Baptist church. But there's another convention. Well, we felt the need for almost a year to form a Southern Baptist church there. In March 1954, seven of us, we had nine children in the group, assembled with the area missionary and decided after some prayer to start a Southern Baptist church in Junction City, Kansas. For many months, or for many weeks, I should say, 20 in Sunday school was a good crowd. We took our children out of a well-organized Sunday school, a well-organized training union,